Hey everybody, ho ho ho, welcome to the I'm Not Crazy Christmas season. And also just welcome back, Cameron here with my co-host.
Nicole.
Co-host.
Nicole.
I said co-host.
Nicole.
We've been busy, we just moved, we're getting settled in, so what's that mean?
A lot of bullshit.
Well, more episodes of I'm Not Crazy, that's what I was saying. But sure, that works too. So, to keep it in the holiday spirits, and because Cult Classics just did the movie Krampus, I'm going to talk about
Krampus.
What do you know of Krampus?
Takes place around Christmas time. It seems like it's a German thing.
Yeah.
Right.
Some other countries.
I don't know. Kills kids.
Did you really hear about Krampus much before, like, the last few years in the Krampus movie that came out with Adam Scott?
I did not know anything about Krampus prior to the movie Krampus.
Yeah, I don't think I did either, but now I feel like it's really exploded on cultural popularity again. So, let's break it down. Krampus is a horned anthropomorphic figure in the Central Eastern Alpine folklore of Europe. During the Advent season, he scares children who have misbehaved. Assisting St. Nicholas or Santa Claus, the pair visit children on the night of December 5th, with Santa rewarding the well-behaved children with modest gifts such as oranges, dried fruit, walnuts, chocolate, you know, things you don't want. While the badly behaved ones receive punishment from Krampus, commonly with birch rods. So he whips you. He whips you with a stick.
I think I'd rather get coal.
Yeah, me too. I don't want to get whipped with anything. Krampus can also make children disappear, stuffed into Krampus's sack and hauled off to his lair to be tortured or eaten. So, there's that. Krampus appears in the folklore of Austria, Bavaria, Croatia, the Czech Republic, Hungary, Northern Italy, autonomous province of Trento, Slovakia, and Slovenia. So not just Germany.
Okay.
Although it does obviously have the strong German ties and roots. So the appearance, how would you describe him? I think we all kind of know the hooves and the horns, right?
Yeah, the hooves, the horns, a very large, massive...
dong.
Yeah, sure.
Is that what you're going to say?
Not even close. He just looks like a very large, I don't know, like a... I'm going based off the movie, like he's just a very large hoofed creature, essentially. Yeah, kind of.
So what does he look like? The way Krampus is portrayed has changed drastically over the past century. The earliest depictions of him come from the late 19th and early 20th centuries, and they look quite a bit different from the depictions today.
Was he a human?
A little bit anthropomorphic.
Okay.
In all of the late 19th and early 20th centuries depictions of Krampus, there are 8 features that stand out in nearly every depiction. So these are the common traits that he almost
has. The horn and
the
hooves.
He has an insanely long tongue, which dangles out of his mouth, lolling uncontrollably.
You're going to say insanely long dong.
Dong, that's right. You might. We did get a little bit of that in the Krampus movie. His tongue does come out and lick someone at one point. It's not lolling behind him, but he does have a long tongue. He has long pointed horns extending from his forehead.
Okay.
He has long claws. He has cloven hooves.
Mm-hmm.
He is usually completely black, except for his tongue, which is red.
Cool.
He has a long tail.
Mm-hmm.
He is bound in chains.
Great.
And he carries either a bundle of birch sticks or a birch rod for beating children with.
He just carries one.
What? Rod?
Yep.
Or a bundle of rods for whipping. So most of what you find about the origins of Krampus online are that he has pre-Germanic paganism roots. So his name originates with the German Krampen, which means claw. Mm-hmm. And tradition has it that he is the son of the Norse god of the underworld, Hel, or Heel, I don't know, during the 12th century. The Catholic Church attempted to banish Krampus celebrations because of his resemblance to the devil. So that's what you'll mostly find online about Krampus's origins. It's always like, it came from paganism. It was another deity. We already said it was the son of Heel, Nordic god.
Mm-hmm.
But I've also found a bunch of people saying that's bullshit and that was a pseudo-history. So now I'm actually going to break...
A pseudo-history?
I'm going to break this down, okay. But fake news apparently on this one maybe, where... Well, let me go into this.
Go.
So, Krampus is not mentioned in any ancient Germanic source at all, and Old Norse was never spoken in Austria or southern Germany. So why do people keep claiming that Krampus comes from the Norse paganism?
Okay.
The idea that Krampus is of ancient pagan origin goes back at least as far as 1958.
Oh, that's recent.
Yeah. In March of that year, the folklorist Maurice Bruce published an article titled The Krampus in Styria. Maybe in Syria? That might be in the typo. In the Folklore Journal, where he declared observing Krampus, though without citing any sources. Quote,
"Great.
There seems to be little doubt as to the true identity, for no other form is the full regalia of the horned god of the witches so well preserved. The birch, apart from its phallic significance, dong, may have a connection with the initiation rites of certain witch covens, rites which entailed binding and scourging as a form of mock death. The chains could have been introduced in a Christian attempt to bind the devil, but again, they could be a remnant of pagan initiation rites. So this is some guy from 58 just saying that without really looking into it too much, it seems.
Great.
So although everything Bruce cites is incorrect, there's no evidence for anyone believing in the horned god of witches prior to the 12th century. The idea of the horned god is part of the so-called witch cult hypothesis, a hypothesis that was popularized by the English writer Margaret Murray, who published her book, The Witch Cult in Western Europe in 1921. So these are all kind of modern origin ideas of where Krampus came from. Weird, huh? What did you think that people would have a better idea and it goes back further?
Yeah.
I also could just be finding cult gibberish on the internet, though.
Well, that's why you said 1915, and then what was the other one? 1921.
Yeah. The 1958 was basing his research off this person in 1921.
Interesting.
Murray argued that the witch trials during the early modern period were not the result of superstition and mass hysteria like most historians, but it was actually an orchestrated effort by Christian clergy to suppress the surviving pre-Christian pagan cult that worshipped a male deity with horns, whom Christianity mistook for the devil. So they're saying the witch hunters were an organized thing of the clergy in order to stamp out paganism and just kind of make Catholicism the main thing, because their god looked like their version of the devil and it was too confusing. So that's where Murray's hypothesis rests on the selective interpretation of testimonies that were extracted from people accused of witchcraft by interrogators, often under torture. She takes these testimonies at face value when they support her hypothesis, but reject them when they do not.
Isn't that how it always works?
Hopefully not, you know, but that's how it does. So Krampus does not have a great resemblance to anything in paganism, but he does look very similar to features in the Christian devil, as he was portrayed during the Middle Ages. The tongue, long pointed horns, claws, cloven feet are all standard elements for how the devil was portrayed in medieval times.
The tongue?
I guess so, yeah. Back in the day.
Just the long red tongue.
And often covered in fur. He was completely black and furry. So it seems that Krampus was a portrayal of Satan, but not as we know him today. Satan wasn't the all-powerful figure who tempts people into sin. In the Middle Ages, Satan was often portrayed in mystery plays as a hopeless, incompetent villain who provided comic relief and who always ended up getting chained up and thrown into hell. So he was kind of just like a jester at these times, like a I'm not even too far off here, because the actor playing Satan probably would have been dressed in animal skin, wearing a hideous mask with horns, and comically overacting, perhaps even talking in a funny voice.
You would be a good one.
I'd be a great Satan. Saint Nicholas sometimes appeared in late medieval German mystery plays as well, alongside a chained devil. So this is possibly where...
So they just skip hand in hand, basically.
It seems like maybe this is more the beginning instead of paganism, where it's just old Germanic Christian mystery plays that would often have the devil accompanying Saint Nick. And here's why. We'll get into that. So in medieval legend, saints and devils appear alongside each other all the time. There are dozens of famous legends in which the devil, or one of his demons, appears to a famous saint to test him, but the saint defeats the devil and thereby gains mastery over him.
So are they expecting Santa to defeat Krampus?
He's a saint. So Saint Nicholas in particular is closely associated with demons because he was a known exorcist.
No.
That's what I'm finding here. The earliest surviving account of Saint Nicholas's life is The Life of Saint Nicholas of Myra, written at some point between 814 and 842 AD.
That sounds made up.
That's what I'm finding on the interwebs. In this writing, there are multiple legends about Saint Nicholas defeating and driving out demons. In this, Saint Nicholas exorcises the demons that haunted the Temple of Artemis. Throughout the rest of the work, the demons banished by Saint Nicholas are described as continually trying to cause harm to him and hinder his work to spread the gospel. Near the end of the work, Nicholas is hailed as the most active banisher of demons.
They make Saint Nicholas sound really
cool.
He's
a badass.
Really cool.
Yeah, he's cool. He banishes demons.
They don't teach
demons.
This in Christian school.
Nope. Don't know that at all.
Yep. Nope,
so along with Krampus, there is another character that either sometimes accompanies him, or is just in place of him. His name is Black Pete.
What?
So in the Netherlands, Saint Nicholas is usually accompanied by a character known as Zwarte Piet, which means Black Pete.
Why?
Dutch. He is traditionally described as a black-skinned Moor from Spain. In the early 20th century, Zwarte Piet was portrayed as a diabolical, menacing figure like Krampus, whose job was to punish naughty children. But over the course of the 20th century, he became a more or less benevolent figure. There's more. Don't worry. Zwarte Piet is a controversial figure today.
Yeah.
Because he is traditionally portrayed by a white person wearing blackface, a curly wig, red lipstick, and an earring. And I have heard this over the years of this figure being controversial in the problem. So this is obviously problematic.
Yeah.
So in recent years, there's been a movement to replace Zwarte Piet with Rooige Piet, which means Sooty Piet. So Sooty Piet is like Black Piet, only without the blackface, curly wig, lipstick, and earring.
So what, he's covered in soot?
Yep. Instead, individuals are portraying wearing makeup that only make themselves look like soot while retaining their natural skin tone.
So he's just a dirty guy.
Yep. He comes down your chimney with you, you know, with Santa. That's why he's Sooty Piet. Other people in the Netherlands have tried to change the color of the makeup to gold, so they're gold-facing themselves. But a bit of a problematic character, this guy.
Yeah.
So let's get back on here now to Krampus. But that's just another character who you sometimes see also popping up.
Dirty Pete.
Oh, let me a little more history here for you, though. So like Krampus, Zwarte Piet seems to be ultimately derived from medieval and early modern portrayals of Satan. In late medieval and early modern folklore.
So basically everything's tying back to Satan.
It seems like the devil and not pagan. It seems like Christianity and them just trying to stamp it out and it surviving still somehow.
Yeah.
In folklore now. Mm-hmm. In late medieval and early modern folklore, the devil was often described as a black man. These were mostly taken from testimony from accused witches. And while witch testimony shouldn't be taken for, you know, real events, they do reveal the ideas that were in circulation of the devil's appearance at the time.
I mean, when you're saying it out loud, it doesn't sound great.
Doesn't sound good. So in conclusion, it seems that Krampus is a holdover from medieval Christianity portrayals of the devil and likely not anything to do with paganism. It's just actually kind of some bad history from the 20s and 50s that have just kept up. Mm-hmm. So, traditions and festivals. What do we do to celebrate Krampus?
We put children in sacks and beat them with birch rods.
Yep. On Krampenschnacht. The Krampus Night. Mm-hmm. The Feast of St. Nicholas is celebrated in parts of Europe on the 6th of December. So on the preceding evening of the 5th of December, Krampusnacht or Krampus Night are where wicked hairy devils appear in the street, sometimes accompanying St. Nicholas.
Sorry.
That's what they do.
Wicked hairy devils.
St. Nicholas, sometimes accompanying St. Nicholas and sometimes on his own, Krampus visits homes and businesses. The saint usually appears in the eastern rite vestments of a bishop, and he carries a golden ceremonial staff.
Is he exercising things?
No, that's for Santa, not for Krampus.
But he's Saint Nicholas.
He's the devil.
He's supposed to be cool.
Unlike North American versions of Santa Claus, he has that staff that I described. Mm-hmm. In these celebrations, Saint Nicholas concerns himself only with good children, while Krampus is responsible for the bad. He doesn't even fuck with the bad ones. Have you heard of Krampus runs?
Are these people who dress up like Krampus and then just run?
Yeah, it's
like a marathon.
Have you heard of Santa runs where it's like usually bar hops and people just get really drunk? And from what I understand, most people who don't do it find them obnoxious because it's just overly drunk.
So people dress like Krampus and behave very naughty.
Yes and no. They go two ways. Either they're good. It's regional. If some places are really believe in the whipping of birch rods in their festivities, while other people just throw a parade.
Okay, go ahead.
No, your question?
No, I was just going to say they beat people with birch rods.
Some places in Europe do, yeah. Krampus runs. In this activity, which often involves alcohol, people dressed as the creature parade through streets, scaring spectators and sometimes chasing them. Or whipping them with birch sticks.
Great.
These are similar to the Santa runs where people are too enthusiastic and get super drunk. Mm. So in Munich, just to give you an idea, though, of what these can look like, a parade of Krampus from groups all over Europe, more than 300 people dressed as Krampus, parade through the main plaza for spectators. Older kids will receive high fives and fist bumps from Krampus, while, you know, younger children are usually terrified because these are fucking people in monster costumes around Christmas, you know?
Yeah.
But they're encouraged by parents to go and, you know, bump Santa. In years past, spectators could be expected to get a bruise from a whack of a birch stick bundle, but that's gone to the wayside. Today, some alpine communities are known for having aggressive Krampus lofts. where Krampus runs. So in some of those alpine mountain country and mountain towns, you can get hit with a stick still.
Okay.
Krampus Karten. Europeans have been exchanging greeting cards featuring Krampus since the 19th century, sometimes introduced with Grub von Krampus, greetings from Krampus. The cards usually have humorous rhymes and poems, and I've seen a bunch of these. Usually it's like Santa, like facing off to, well, like a Santa and a Krampus on it, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah.
But Krampus is often featured looming or menacing over children. He's also shown as having one human foot and one cloven hoof. In some, Krampus has sexual overtones. I don't know if that means he's being sexually aggressive or if he's just, you know, kind of saucy.
Gross.
Yeah. He's pictured pursuing buxom women in a lot of them.
Hmm.
Over time, the representation of Krampus cards has changed. Older versions are more frightening, while modern ones are kind of cuter and tongue-in-cheek and saucy cards. But those are still a thing. So that is a brief history of Krampus.
Wow.
What's the date? We missed Krampenschnauf and we missed the Krampus run.
We missed it all.
But, you know, because of the podcast this year, because of the movie Krampus, go over and check out Cult Classics and watch the movie if you're interested in more. But I wanted to do a deep dive and learn more about Krampus.
If we ever have kids, I'm telling them about Krampus.
Yeah, they're going to behave or they're going to get whipped with a stick.
With a birch rod. I didn't think... I guess you could sexualize anything. I was surprised that they sexualized Krampus, to be quite honest.
I mean, he has a seductive tongue. That is, I mean, watch the movie Krampus. He
whatever
gets that tongue
you're
in
into, not my thing.
Well, we're going to try to have another couple festive holiday episodes here for you, but we're going to get back to regular recording now that we're all settled in. So,
thank God.
You know, don't worry, you're not crazy. We believe you.
I'm crazy. Bye.
Bye.